welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, March 23rd, and we had four games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Orlando, the Magic defeated the Warriors 94-90. In New York, the Hawks defeated the Knicks 117-111. In Milwaukee, the Bucks easily defeated the Bulls 126-98. And finally, in Denver, the Nuggets beat the Clippers 127-115. So we'll break down all four of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Orlando, where the Magic defeated the Golden State Warriors 94-90. There was no Steph Curry in this game for Golden State, so they were led by Jordan Poole. He had 26 points in the starting lineup. He was 9 of 23 from the field overall, and then they also got 15 points from Klay Thompson and 14 points off the bench from Otto Porter and the rookie Jonathan Kuminga. Whereas the Magic were led by Wendell Carter. He had 19 points and 8 rebounds. And they also got 18 from the rookie Franz Wagner, 14 from Cole Anthony, the sophomore point guard. And that was actually it in terms of the double-digit scoring for the Magic. Obviously, a very low-scoring game, both teams under 100 points. And it was the Magic who were leading early on. They had outscored the Warriors 25-17 in the first quarter. And then they maintained about a 5-10 point lead throughout most of the second as well. At halftime, it was 46-38. So the Warriors only managing 38 points in the first half is really disappointing. And overall, in this game, the Warriors did, in fact, shoot the ball worse than the Magic. They were just 40% from the field, whereas Orlando was 43%. And Orlando also was tidier with the ball handling. They only had 14 turnovers, whereas the Warriors had 18. So even without Steph Curry, who can sometimes get a little sloppy with his ball handling, the Warriors still managed to cough it up 18 times, thanks in large part to 4 turnovers from Jordan Poole, and then 3 in just 14 minutes off the bench from Nemanja Bjelica, and then Kuminga and Porter Jr. both had 2 as well. So definitely not the best game here for Golden State, but they were actually better from beyond the arc than the Magic. They were 34% from 3, whereas the Magic were just 27%, and that was on full display in the third quarter. So I mentioned they were trailing by like 8 points at the half, but then the Warriors were just on fire in the third. They outscored the Magic 36-19. So they not only closed the gap, tied the game up, but then they took a commanding lead themselves. By the end of the third quarter, it was a 9-point game in favor of Golden State. So it looked like the Warriors were going to just take control of this game, as one might have expected, especially considering their line before the game. The Warriors were -7.5. So it definitely seemed like they were going to cruise to victory, but the Magic were really resilient, and they came fighting back themselves at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and thanks to a really long stretch of stagnation from the Warriors' offense at the beginning of the fourth quarter, they could not buy a bucket from like the 11-minute mark all the way until like the 6-minute mark. They were stuck at 79 points. And so the Magic were able to close that gap by about midway through the fourth quarter, and then it was just back and forth down the stretch. With about a minute left on the clock, the Warriors were trailing by 1. It was 86-85 in favor of Orlando, and Andrew Wiggins knocked down a clutch 3-pointer off of a Klay Thompson assist. That gave the Warriors a 2-point lead. It was 88-86 at that point. But then, with 52 seconds left on the clock, Mo Bamba responded. He hit a clutch 3-pointer himself, giving the lead right back to the Magic. It was 89-88 at that point, so some really clutch shot-making down the stretch. And then ultimately, it was a really bad foul by the Warriors with 13 seconds to go that helped the Magic secure this victory. With 13 seconds left, Klay Thompson fouls Franz Wagner on a 3-point attempt. The Warriors challenge it, but it is not overturned. The replay supported the call, so Franz Wagner goes to the free throw line for 3 attempts, the rookie, and he knocks down all 3, one after the next, with 13 seconds left on the clock. So really clutch free throws for Wagner. Gave the Magic a 4-point lead, and that was pretty much all she wrote. Jordan Poole hit a bucket with 7 seconds left, but then Franz Wagner responded with a dunk. So in the end, really clutch shot making and clutch free throws from this young Magic team. And ultimately, they got a really impressive win. Now, granted, the Warriors were without Steph Curry, but still, this was undoubtedly one of the best teams in the NBA versus one of the worst teams, and the Magic got the victory. Now, in terms of their tanking purposes, maybe not the most ideal win, because they now move ahead of the Detroit Pistons for the first time in a while into 14th, and they're now tied in terms of the wins with the Thunder. They're both on 20 wins. And then the Pistons are second to last with 19 wins, and then the Rockets are last with 18 wins. So as long as they're in that bottom four, they'll probably be fine, but I'm sure if you gave John Hammond and Jeff Weltman truth serums, they probably would have preferred to just lose this game, but they didn't. They won it, so the Magic now improved, like I said, to 20-53, so that is good now for 14th in the Eastern Conference. Like I said, they'd been in 15th for quite some time, but they're now second to last in the East, half a game up on the Detroit Pistons in last, and then they are, let's see, 4.5 games behind the Indiana Pacers in 13th. And the Magic are -7.7 in the point differential, which is in fact 14th in the conference. It's fourth worst in the entire league, but they are on a two-game winning streak, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Warriors, this loss takes them to 47-25, so they're still in third in the Western Conference, but they're now two games behind the Memphis Grizzlies in second, and then they're two games up on the Utah Jazz in fourth. The Warriors are 4-6 in their last 10 games, they're on a three-game losing streak. They are still +5.9 in the point differential, but nonetheless, their recent record is really concerning, and it comes at a very inopportune time because the playoffs are fast approaching, and Steph Curry's injury certainly throws a wrench into things. So we'll see how the Warriors fare throughout these final 10 games of the season, but I frankly don't see much changing until they get Curry back, but we'll see. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score, and the Warriors were led, as I mentioned, by Jordan Poole. He had 26 points in 40 minutes. He was not super efficient, 9 of 23 from the field, but he did have 5 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, 6 assists, but 4 turnovers. Then they also got 15 points from Klay Thompson. He was 6 of 15 from the field, so also not super efficient. He had 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. 13 points for Andrew Wiggins, also, once again, not very efficient. In fact, he was the least efficient of the three. He was 5 of 19 from the field. He had 8 rebounds and 1 steal. And then Kevon Looney had 5 points in 12 minutes. And Draymond Green, rounding out the starting lineup, just had 2 points in 29 minutes. He was 1 of 3 from the field. But he did have 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. And off the bench for the Warriors, they got 14 points from the rookie Jonathan Kuminga and the veteran Otto Porter Jr. So Kuminga, he was 6 of 8 from the field in just 20 minutes. He had 5 rebounds and 1 assist. And Porter Jr. was 5 of 8 from the field, and he had 15 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. So really solid contributions from Kuminga and Porter Jr. They were definitely the Warriors' best players in this game. And then they also got 1 point from Nemanja Bjelica in 14 minutes, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench. Damian Lee and Gary Payton II both were 0 of 2 from the field. And as for the Magic, they were led, as I mentioned, by Wendell Carter. He had 19 points in the starting lineup in 33 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field, and he had 8 rebounds, 1 three-pointer. 18 points for the rookie Franz Wagner, including those clutch 3 free throws down the stretch. Overall, he was 6 of 9 from the field, 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 3 assists and 2 steals with a block. They also got 14 points from the sophomore point guard Cole Anthony. In 29 minutes, he was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. 7 points from Mo Bamba, including that clutch 3-pointer late. In 24 minutes only, he was 2 of 7 from the field. So up to that point, he was just 1 of 6 from the field and 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. But he confidently fired away, and he nailed it, so good on him. And he also had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 blocks. And RJ Hampton, rounding out the starting lineup, had 5 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 8 points from Chuma Okeke. In 25 minutes, the backup power forward had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 1 3-pointer. 8 points as well for Markelle Fultz. He was 4 of 9 from the field in 19 minutes, and he had 2 assists. 8 points also for Gary Harris, the veteran shooting guard. He was 2 of 5 from the 3-point line, and he had 3 steals. And then 7 points for Mo Wagner in 15 minutes, and then Admiral Schofield saw the court for 18 minutes, but he did not score. All right, next up we can move on to New York, where the Knicks were defeated by the Atlanta Hawks, 117-111. It was Trae Young's return to MSG, and he was incredible, scoring 45 points. He was 7 of 15 from 3 and 12 of 14 from the free throw line. So Young really thrives in these tense situations, seemingly. And then they also got a big contribution from Bogdan Bogdanovic, 32 points off the bench. He was 11 of 20 from the field. Whereas the Knicks, who were playing without Julius Randle, were led by RJ Barrett. He had 30 points and 13 rebounds. Huge production from him, although he was 11 of 17 from the free throw line. That is disappointingly inefficient. You love the fact that he gets to the line for that many attempts, but you gotta knock him down more efficiently if you're gonna get to the line that many times. And then they also got 21 points from Alec Burks and 17 points off the bench from Emmanuel Quickley. Mitchell Robinson was in the starting lineup, and he did stuff the stat sheet, 9.6 rebounds, 3 steals, and 4 blocks. That's all fantastic, but he was 1 of 6 from the free throw line. So Robinson and Barrett going a combined 12 of 23 from the line is really, really disappointing. And that was one of the reasons why the Knicks ultimately lost this game. It was pretty close throughout, especially down the stretch in the fourth quarter. The Knicks were actually leading after a 3-pointer from the rookie Miles McBride with 8:48 left on the clock. The Knicks had a 10-point lead. They were up 99-89, but then they kind of fell apart throughout the rest of the fourth quarter. The Hawks were able to tie the game up by about the 3-minute mark to go. It was 105 all after a 3-pointer from Trae Young with 2:54 left on the clock, and then the Hawks just dominated throughout the final couple of minutes of this game. There was a 3-pointer from Bogdan Bogdanovic, and then another 3-pointer from DeAndre Hunter. It was just raining threes for the Hawks, and the Knicks just couldn't keep up. Emmanuel quickly did his best down the stretch, but it was too little too late, and ultimately the Hawks were able to hang on and get this victory despite being down by double digits earlier in the fourth quarter. And ultimately, it came down to the free throws because a lot of the stats were pretty similar for both teams. The Hawks were 49% from the field. The Knicks were 48%. The Hawks were 41% from three, whereas the Knicks were 38%. Both teams had 14 turnovers, and then the rebounds were really close as well. So it really just came down to those free throws where the Hawks had a huge advantage. They went 22 of 27, 81%, whereas the Knicks 14 of 26 as a team, 53%. So really disappointing stuff there for New York. And so with this loss, they now fall to 30 and 42. So that's good for 12th in the Eastern Conference. They are 5 games up on the Pacers in 13th. They're half a game behind the Wizards in 11th, but then they are 6 games behind the Hawks now in 10th. So it's looking pretty much guaranteed that the Wizards and Knicks will be in some order in 11th and 12th. And the Knicks are negative 0.8 in the point differential, which is actually much better than the Wizards ahead of them. But they're on a 2-game losing streak now. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Hawks, this win takes them to 36-36. So they're down in 10th in the Eastern Conference, but at 500, they are, like I said, 5.5 games up on the Wizards in 11th. And then they're just 1 game behind the Charlotte Hornets in 9th. So it's very tightly contested there at the bottom of the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference, with the Nets 9 games out from the top seed, the Hornets 10 games out, and then the Hawks 11 games out. And Atlanta is plus 0.9 in the point differential, which is actually better than the two teams ahead of them, and even the Bulls all the way up in 5th, and they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Hawks were led, as I mentioned, by Trae Young with an incredible 45-point outburst. He just loves playing in MSG, I guess. In 40 minutes in the starting lineup, he was 13 of 25 from the field, 7 of 15 from 3, and 12 of 14 from the free throw line. Really effective offense, and he had 1 rebound, 8 assists, and 1 steal. He did have 4 turnovers, but nonetheless, he was plus 11 in the plus-minus. The team high in that regard was actually Kevin Huerter. He was plus 17 in 34 minutes. He had 14 points, 5 of 9 from the field, 2 3-pointers, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Nice contributions throughout the box score for Huerter, including turnovers. He had 5. And then they also got 10 points from Danilo Gallinari in 30 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 10 rebounds, 3 assists. 10 points as well for DeAndre Hunter. He was 4 of 9 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And Clint Capella, rounding out the starting lineup, just had 2 points and 6 rebounds in 29 minutes. He had 2 assists and 1 block as well, but disappointing output for Capella. But off the bench for the Hawks, they got 32 points from Bogdan Bogdanovic in 34 minutes. He was 11 of 20 from the field, 4 of 10 from 3, and 6 of 6 from the free throw line. So really efficient stuff for Bogdanovic. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals as well. And then they also got 2 points from the backup big man, Onyeka Okongwu. He had 7 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block. And 2 points from DeLon Wright in 17 minutes, although he was by far the team low, negative 17 in the plus-minus. And as for the Knicks, they were led, as I mentioned, by RJ Barrett with a huge double-double, 30 points and 13 rebounds in 42 minutes. Now, he was not very efficient at all. He was 9 of 25 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3, and 11 of 17 from the free throw line. So all in all, quite inefficient for Barrett. And he had 3 assists, 2 steals, 5 turnovers. So at first glance, you might see 30 and 13 and think, hey, RJ Barrett had a really good game. But upon further review, the 5 turnovers, the extreme inefficiency from the field and from 3 and from the free throw line made this a pretty disappointing game, all things considered, for Barrett. And then they also got 21 points from Alec Burks in 36 minutes. He was 9 of 16 from the field, so much more efficient game for him. He had 4 assists, 3 steals. 10 points for Obi Toppin, the sophomore big man inserted into the starting lineup in place of Julius Randle. He was 5 of 7 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. 9 points for Mitchell Robinson. Like I said, he did stuff the stat sheet. 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 4 blocks, but he was 1 of 6 from the free throw line. And then 11 points for Evan Fournier, rounding out the starting lineup, and he had 3 three-pointers, 4 assists, 1 rebound, and 1 steal. And off the bench for the Knicks, they got 17 points from the sophomore guard, Emmanuel Quickley. In 25 minutes, he was 6 of 11 from the field, and he had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. They also got 5 points from Taj Gibson, the veteran big man. He had 5 rebounds as well. 3 points for Quentin Grimes, the rookie. 3 as well for Miles McBride. And 2 for Jericho Sims in 13 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Milwaukee, where the Bucks handily defeated the Chicago Bulls, 126-98. The Bucks were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He made his return and had 25 points and 17 rebounds. He was incredible, plus 28 in just 30 minutes in the starting lineup. And then they also had Brook Lopez in the starting lineup. He had 10 points, 27 points for Jrue Holiday. He was incredible, 12 of 17 from the field. There was no Chris Middleton in this game for the Bucks, but it did not matter at all. They were just incredible. Whereas the Bulls, not so much. They were led by Nikola Vucevic. He had 22 points and 7 rebounds. And then they got 21 from Zach LaVine and 21 as well from DeMar DeRozan. But nobody was super efficient other than Vuc. He was 9 of 15 from the field, but LaVine was 6 of 16 from the field. DeRozan was 10 of 23. And then Alex Caruso in the starting lineup, he was 1 of 5 from the field. And then Kobe White off the bench was 2 of 10. So really disappointing game, especially offensively for the Bulls. And as a team, they were just 42% from the field, 39% from three. So the shooting from distance was not bad, but the Bucks were even better. They were 42% from three, and then they were incredibly 61% from the field. So just insane efficiency for Milwaukee. Now, they did have 15 turnovers, whereas the Bulls just had 7, but that was not nearly enough to overcome the huge shooting disparity and then the rebounding disparity as well. The Bucks totally dominated on the glass. They out-rebounded the Bulls 53-33. So in pretty much every way, this was just a dominant performance from the Bucks, and yet another disappointing defeat to a top team for the Chicago Bulls. It was really the first quarter when they started to fall behind. They were outscored in the first 33-20, and then the Bucks kept up the pressure in the second quarter, expanding upon that lead, and then ultimately they just held that lead and cruised to victory in the second half. The Bulls were never really able to make any headway. They got to within about 10 points at the beginning of the third quarter, but that was as close as they would get. The Bucks would reestablish like a 15 to 20 point lead throughout the final quarter and a half. And at one point in the fourth quarter, the lead was all the way up to like 35. So a totally dominant win here for the Bucks in the end. And so with this victory, they now improve to 45-27. So that is good for second in the Eastern Conference. They're half a game up now on the 76ers and Celtics in third and fourth. And they're 2 games behind the Miami Heat in first. And the Bucks are plus 4.0 in the point differential. They are very impressively 8-2 in their last 10 games. That is the best record over the last 10 games of any team in the Eastern Conference other than the Boston Celtics. And as for the Chicago Bulls, this loss takes them to 42-30. So they're now in fifth, 2.5 games behind the 76ers and Celtics, and then they are just 1 game up on the Cavaliers in sixth. And the Bulls are plus 0.6 in the point differential. That is worse than the 2 teams below them, as well as even the Hawks in 10th. So some concerning signs, to say the least, for the Bulls. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. And really, they've only got one injury left. It's the Lonzo Ball one, because they've got Patrick Williams back. They've got Alex Caruso back. They've got the big three, DeRozan, Vucevic, and LaVine in the starting lineup. So there's really not many things that they can point to now at this point as excuses. They've got to really snap into gear with the playoffs approaching. I'm not sure if Lonzo Ball's return is going to solve all these problems that they've got. But anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And they were led, as I mentioned, by Nikola Vucevic. He had 22 points on a pretty efficient 9 of 15 shooting. He was actually 4 of 5 from beyond the arc in 32 minutes, and he had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, but he was negative 16 in the plus minus. There was a couple of guys off the bench that were even worse, though. They got 21 points from Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. LaVine was 6 of 16 from the field. He had 4 threes, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 steal. And then DeRozan was 10 of 23 from the field. Neither he nor Vucevic got to the free throw line at all. That's a bit disappointing. And DeRozan had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then they also got 4 points from Javonte Green in 20 minutes. He had 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And 3 points from Alex Caruso, but like I said, he was just 1 of 5 from the field. Although he did have 5 rebounds and 6 assists with a steal. And off the bench for the Bulls, didn't get much better. 7 points from Ayo Dosunmu, the rookie, in 27 minutes. He was 3 of 8 from the field, but he was by far the team low, negative 35 in the plus minus. And then they got 6 points from Patrick Williams. In 18 minutes, he was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. 5 points for Tristan Thompson and Coby White, although White was 2 of 10 from the field, and then 4 points from Troy Brown Jr. in 4 minutes. And as for the Bucks, they were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was incredible. In 30 minutes only, he had 25 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. Fantastic numbers for Giannis. Now, to be fair, he had 9 turnovers. That is shocking. But other than that, it was a pretty fantastic line, all things considered, for Giannis. So I guess we'll overlook that this time, but that is egregious, 9 turnovers. He was plus 28, though, in the plus-minus. That was by far the team high. And then they also got 27 points from Jrue Holiday, and he was very efficient, 12 of 17 from the field. He had 2 threes, 7 assists, 1 steal. 10 points for Brook Lopez back in the starting lineup in place of Bobby Portis. In 24 minutes, Lopez, he was 4 of 9 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. 11 points for Wesley Matthews in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And Grayson Allen, rounding out the starting lineup, had 10 points on 5 of 7 shooting. He also had 2 rebounds and 2 assists. And off the bench for the Bucks, they got 14 points from Pat Connaughton. It's good to see him back in the lineup as well. The Bucks are really rounding into form here with all these guys finally coming back from injury. Connaughton was 3 of 7 from beyond the arc, and he had 5 rebounds, 3 assists. 11 points for Serge Ibaka, the backup big man. In 17 minutes, he was 4 of 6 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And then they also got 7 points from Javon Carter. In 18 minutes, the backup point guard was 3 of 4 from the field. And then they got 2 points from George Hill, 6 points from Bobby Portis, 2 points from Jordan Nwora, and 1 point from Thanasis Antetokounmpo. All right, and finally we can move on to Denver, where the Nuggets defeated the LA Clippers, 127-115. The Nuggets were led by Nikola Jokic. He had 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 6 assists, leading the team in all 3 categories. And then they also got 16 points from 3 different guys, Jeff Green, Aaron Gordon, and the rookie Bones Highland off the bench. Whereas the Clippers were led by Terrence Mann. He had 24 points and 8 rebounds. Really solid performance off the bench in 35 minutes. He was 10 of 12 from the free throw line, 7 of 10 from the field. Incredible offense for Mann. And then they also got 14 points from 4 players, Isaiah Hartenstein, Robert Covington, Reggie Jackson, and Marcus Morris. But in the end, for this game, the Clippers just got down early, and they could never really dig themselves out of the hole that they found themselves in after the first quarter. It was a 10-point game. The Nuggets had outscored the Clips 37-27 in that first quarter, and then they pretty much just maintained that lead throughout the rest of the game. It was a couple of periods where the Clippers went on a little bit of a run, and they cut it to within like 2 or 3 points. It happened in the middle of the second quarter, and then it happened again at the in the middle of the fourth quarter. But both times, the Nuggets were able to quickly reestablish a pretty significant lead, like a double-digit lead, a couple of minutes later. And so apart from those 2 brief spells, the Nuggets pretty much controlled this game throughout. They never really blew the doors off. It was never more than about 10 points, but they were always just in control. And overall, they shot the ball 50% from the 3-point line. That is really impressive. And then they were 54% from the field overall, whereas the Clippers were 48% from the field. That's not bad at all, but they were 31% from 3. So that's a pretty huge disparity there, the 3-point shooting. Now, to be fair, the Clippers were very tidy with the ball handling. They only had 6 turnovers, but the Nuggets weren't too bad themselves. They only had 11, and then they also had a slight edge on the boards as well. So in pretty much every way, this game was controlled by the Nuggets, especially the 3-point shooting. That's where they really blew the doors off on this one. So a solid win here against a conference rival in the Clippers. So the Nuggets now improved to 43-30. So they're down in 6th still in the Western Conference. They're 1 game up on the Minnesota Timberwolves in 7th, who are surging. They are trying their best to break into that top 6, but the Nuggets are doing their best to stave them off and remain in that top 6. They are 1.5 games behind the Dallas Mavericks in 5th. And the Nuggets are plus 2.5 in the point differential, which is actually tied with the Mavericks, but worse than the Wolves below them. And they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Clippers, this loss takes them to 36-38. So they're in 8th right now, and it seems pretty clear that they are going to remain in 8th throughout the rest of the season, because they are 4 games up on the Lakers in 9th, and then they are 5.5 games behind the Timberwolves in 7th. So pretty unlikely that they will be anywhere but 8th by the end of the season. They are negative 1.3 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the conference standings, but they are on a 4-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. So if it wasn't for the Lakers Clippers' extreme struggles over the last couple of months. The Clippers might be in more trouble, but fortunately for them, their partners in Los Angeles have been even worse than they have. So anyways, we can move on now to the box score. And the Clips were led, as I mentioned, by Terrence Mann off the bench. He had 24 points in 35 minutes, and he was very efficient. 7 of 10 from the field, 10 of 12 from the free throw line, and he also had 8 rebounds and 4 assists with 1 block. Really good stuff for Mann. As for the starters, they were led by Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson, both of whom had 14 points. Morris was 6 of 16 from the field, 0 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds and 3 assists. And then Jackson was 6 of 18 from the field, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. And he had 3 rebounds and 6 assists. So really disappointing scoring from those two, Morris and Jackson going a combined 0 of 10 from 3. That is pretty terrible. And then they also got 9 points from Nick Batum. He was 3 of 6 from 3. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists. And 6 points for the other two starters. Amir Coffey, the shooting guard, he was 2 of 5 from the field in 19 minutes. And Ivica Zubac, the big man, he had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block to go along with his 6 points. And off the bench for the Clippers, besides Terrence Mann, they also got really solid performances from Isaiah Hartenstein and Robert Covington. So both of those guys, Covington and Hartenstein, they both had 14 points, and they both stuffed the stat sheet. So Covington was 4 of 6 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc. He was 4 of 6 from 3, and he had 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. And then Hartenstein, the backup big man, he was 5 of 7 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, and he had 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. So just incredible production from those two. And then they also got 8 points from Luke Kennard. He had 2 threes. And 6 points from the rookie Brandon Boston Jr. And as for the Nuggets, they were led by Nikola Jokic, the reigning MVP. He had 30 points in 34 minutes. He was very efficient. 9 of 15 from the field, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. And then he also had 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. And he was plus 10 in the plus minus. From a fantasy perspective, just incredible stuff. The efficiency, the 5 combined steals and blocks, and the 20 combined rebounds and assists. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Nikola Jokic is just far and away the best fantasy player in the NBA right now. And then they also got 16 points from Jeff Green and Aaron Gordon. Green was very efficient, 7 of 10 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, 3 rebounds. And Gordon was a little bit less efficient, 5 of 13 from the field. He had 7 rebounds and 6 assists, though. And then they also got 15 points from Monty Morris, the point guard. He was 5 of 10 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 5 assists. And 10 points for Will Barton. He was also quite efficient, 4 of 9 from the field. And he had 4 rebounds and 2 assists with 1 steal. And off the bench for the Nuggets, they got 16 points from the rookie Bones Highland. He was 6 of 8 from the field and 4 of 6 from 3, so the incredible offense just continued off the bench for the Nuggets. Highland had 2 rebounds, 3 assists. And then they got 11 points from Austin Rivers, including 3 three-pointers, 8 points for DeMarcus Cousins, the backup big man, 3 for Brent Forbes, and 2 for Jermichael Green. All right, and with that, we are done with the box score breakdown, so we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of pretty solid options, considering that we only had 4 games on in the NBA last night. Ultimately, it's got to be Nikola Jokic, because he was just incredible. But just to run through some of the other options, we had Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was probably the closest contender. He had 25 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 blocks. You also had 45 points from Trae Young. And then Bogdan Bogdanovic had 32. Jrue Holiday had 27 and 7. And then 14 and 15 from Otto Porter. So definitely some good contenders. Like I said, RJ Barrett had 30 and 13, but his line was not very impressive. But ultimately, it had to be Nikola Jokic. He had 30 points on 9 of 15 shooting, 12 of 13 from the free throw line, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, and only 1 turnover. Now, the only mark against him was that he was 0 of 2 from 3, but other than that, incredible production across the board, incredible efficiency, incredible numbers in the rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, and then only 1 turnover is the cherry on top. So Nikola Jokic, once again, for the umpteenth time, is your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Terrence Mann, his opponent in this game. He had 24 points off the bench for the Clippers. He was 7 of 10 from the field, 10 of 12 from the free throw line. Now, like Jokic, he also did not have any three-pointers, but he also had 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, and no turnovers. So just a very efficient and effective game for Mann. And obviously those numbers are significantly above his season averages. He's actually averaging 29 minutes per game on the season. So despite the fact that he's been coming off the bench, he's been playing essentially starter minutes, or at least close to it. And he's averaging about 11 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and about 0.5 steal. So not exactly jumping off the page, his numbers so far this season, but that does not dissuade me at all from thinking that he can still be a really effective player when it comes to crunch time in the playoffs like he was last season. I think he can absolutely replicate that this year, and I don't think they should necessarily expect him to be scoring like 24 points per game in the playoffs, but he can definitely be a valuable player on a playoff rotation. So Mann is going to be our surprising line of the night, and Nikola Jokic is going to be your standout line of the night. And with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, March the 23rd. And we've got a whole bunch of games on in the NBA today. So starting off in Charlotte, the Hornets are taking on the New York Knicks, and the Hornets are big favorites. They are -8. In Indiana, the Pacers are taking on the Sacramento Kings. The battle of Tyrese Halliburton versus Domantas Sabonis, although Sabonis is injured, so he's not going to be playing. But nonetheless, the Pacers are favored. They're -6. In Detroit, the Pistons are taking on the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hawks are -5. In Miami, the Heat take on the Golden State Warriors, and the Heat are -7. In Memphis, the Grizzlies face the Brooklyn Nets, and the Nets are -1.5. In Boston, the Celtics face the Utah Jazz, and the Celtics are -5. In Oklahoma City, the Thunder are taking on the Orlando Magic, and the Magic are -1.5. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves face the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are -1. In Dallas, the Mavericks take on the Houston Rockets, and the Mavs are big favorites. They are -10. In LA, the Lakers take on the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are -7. And finally, in Portland, the Trailblazers are taking on the San Antonio Spurs, and the Spurs are big favorites. They are -9.5. All right, so some intriguing matchups across the league tonight. I am very interested to see how the Philadelphia 76ers look in Los Angeles. The Lakers, of course, got that encouraging win in their last one, and they've looked slightly better in their last couple of games. Not going to read too much into all this because they've built up quite a track record over the past couple of months of being pretty abysmal all the way down in ninth in the Western Conference. They've got that -2.6 point differential. So frankly, I'm not expecting that much from the Lakers, but I feel like that line is just slightly too big. I think the Lakers could at the very least keep it close. So it's definitely going to be a stay away from me. I'm also intrigued by the Portland Trailblazers +9.5 at home versus the Spurs. The Spurs have just been a bit disappointing, frankly, over the past couple of months. And I say that as a Spurs fan, not disappointing in the sense that they are on a bad trajectory or anything like that, but just, you know, it's a rebuilding season, and they're in 11th right now in the Western Conference, but they're 4-6 in their last 10. They just can never really get any momentum going this season. And the Trailblazers, despite their best efforts to tank away the rest of the season, obviously Dame and Nurkic are both out, they are only half a game behind the Spurs. They are actually 2-8 in their last 10, but they did win their last game, but they've got that pretty abysmal -6.8 point differential. So they probably will lose this game, but I don't know. I just don't have a ton of faith in the Spurs. They can have a propensity to rest guys every once in a while. It seems like they're sort of embracing the tank now at this point as well, now that Pop has surpassed the all-time wins record. So I don't have a ton of faith in the Spurs covering that line, but it's going to be a stay away from me as well. And then a few more games that I was intrigued by that we're ultimately going to stay away from as well. The Miami Heat -7 at home versus the Warriors. It's the second night of a back-to-back for Golden State, and they've just been really struggling with no Steph Curry. They're on a three-game losing streak, so all the signs in this one point to a comfortable Heat win. But with that being said, I don't know, there's just something about the Heat that does not inspire me with supreme confidence. They're only 6-4 in their last 10 games. They lost their last game despite the fact that Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo all scored at least 20 points. So I don't know, for being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and having the second best point differential in the Eastern Conference, I don't know, there's just something slightly lackluster about this Heat team. So I'm ultimately going to stay away from that one just because I think that line is a little bit too high, but it's an intriguing matchup nonetheless. And then the last one I wanted to get to before our best bets, the Brooklyn Nets are -1.5 in Memphis, and that is obviously because Ja Morant will not be playing in this game for the Grizzlies. But with that being said, the Grizzlies have absolutely shown that they can thrive without Ja in the lineup. They obviously went on that like 9-game winning streak earlier this season when he went out of the lineup. So despite the fact that the Nets are playing very well recently, and despite the fact that the Grizzlies will be without Ja, I'm still kind of tempted by the Grizzlies +1.5 at home versus the Nets. But ultimately, I think I'm going to stay away just because they should have KD and Kyrie Irving. And so the Nets definitely have the capability of blowing out any team with those two guys in the lineup. So ultimately, our two best bets for today are going to be the Charlotte Hornets -8 at home versus the New York Knicks. Now, in general, I don't feel great ever this season about betting the Charlotte Hornets, especially such a big line. They're just sort of a trick-or-treat team. Sometimes they look like world beaters, and then sometimes they look really disappointing. But as of right now, they're playing really well. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. So I think the Hornets can easily win this game. And most importantly is the incentives. The Hornets are trying their hardest to battle up in the conference standings. They're trying to take away perhaps that 8th seed from the Brooklyn Nets right ahead of them. They're only one game behind. So they've got a huge incentive to win this game, whereas the Knicks are playing for absolutely nothing. They are down in 12th, like we've discussed. They have no chance of breaking into the play-in game, and so they have, no incentive, and it's the second night of a back-to-back for them. They're on a 2-game losing streak. So I think that the Hornets can easily win this game. That line is a bit high. I wish it was a little bit lower, but still, I'm going to take the Hornets just because, A, the incentives heavily are in the Hornets' favor, and B, it's the second night of a back-to-back for New York. So that's going to be our first best bet. And then our second one is kind of along the same lines. It's going to be the Dallas Mavericks minus 10 at home versus the Rockets. So the Mavs, like the Hornets, have all the incentives in the world right now to win this game. They're battling with the Jazz and Nuggets for playoff positioning. They're 1.5 games up on the Nuggets and then just one game behind the Jazz in fourth. So they could very easily jump up or down in the conference standings with a couple of wins or a couple of losses down the stretch here. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games, so they've been playing very well. And I think they definitely could catch the Jazz down the stretch here. The Jazz play the Celtics tonight, so that could be a loss for them. And so just like that, the Mavericks could find themselves in fourth with home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. That would be fantastic for them. So you have all that on one side of the ledger, and then on the other side of the ledger, you have the Houston Rockets, who are actively trying to lose games. They have not only the worst record in the Western Conference, but the worst record in the entire NBA, and they also have the worst point differential in the entire NBA, -9.2. So down the stretch here, throughout the last couple of games of the season, I could see the Rockets doing a little bit of strategic tanking, perhaps sitting Christian Wood out or Eric Gordon or some of these guys who have been contributing to winning basketball. So I don't know if that's going to happen in this game necessarily, but I do think the Rockets are heavily incentivized to lose, whereas the Mavericks are heavily incentivized to win. And on top of all that, they have home court advantage. They've been at home for several days, so they should be very well rested. So we're going to take the Mavericks minus 10 at home versus the Rockets. And then we're also going to take the Charlotte Hornets minus 8 at home versus the New York Knicks. All right, and that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Thursday, March the 24th. So until then, thanks for tuning in.